And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. And why wouldn't you? Great weather, for the most part. A lot of games, a lot of action to take in, and a lot of things to discuss today. Darren McFarland here down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna, where it is nice and kind of fall-like today, but nice outside. Willie Donick is hanging over in East Nashville. That's not where I was on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It was East Tennessee, even though I did have the flub on Thursday. But, you know, East Nashville, there's nothing wrong with that. I'd hang in East Nashville. And Chase McCabe is off today. And Elijah Campbell is back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Nothing against East Nashville, Willie, but, you know, we did kind of want to get away. And, you know, my version of camping, even though I said there is a tent in your backyard, that's not how I camp. I don't believe in roughing it. My version of camping is staying in a really, really nice cabin and just looking at mountains and trees and bears sometimes.
I'd have to say the scenery, you know, with the mountains and everything like that, if that's what you're looking for, I would recommend that over our backyard.
You tell me, I mean, East Nashville has some great things.
I was going to say, if you tell me you have mountains, I'm gonna have to come over and explore.
Yeah, yeah, you'd have to see that for yourself. Yes, East Nashville has a lot of things going for it. We got some great musical talent over here. There's always great places to go, great dive bars and local joints, but mountains we do not have. Yeah. We do not have mountains.
You may have the fall foliage, but you don't have the mountains.
No, no.
How was your weekend?
Well, I watched a lot of football.
Yeah.
Right now, we're in the mode of laying low and watching games.
Yeah.
Doing wrong yard with work. That. I have to say, with no hockey on the weekends, I've done the best yard work I think I've ever done. Yard looks pretty good.
I know.
I'm ahead of the curve. I'm ahead of the curve controlling the leaves as they fall. You know, Usually like the day before Thanksgiving or something, like I'm just playing catch up, trying to get huge mounds of leaves out of there. But, you know, I'm taking it once a week. I'm like, well, I got nothing to do. I guess I'll go rake leaves.
Well, if we weren't, that's on us, right? Because we got no excuses.
I know.
It's kind of up to us. Because you're right. We're just not used to having weekends and stuff this time of year and this downtime and time to watch and just hang out. And then, oh, by the way, in between games or whenever, or first thing in the morning or later in the day when things maybe have calmed down, you're kind of waiting for the night games. Get out there and do some yard work.
You've usually got some gaps in the day. Like,
all right, there's a gap.
Yeah. There's actually nothing. There's actually not a game on right now I'm interested in. What am I going to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about trying to get off the couch?
A little circulation. Get moving. Well, there was some circulation in Baltimore yesterday as the Titans go into Baltimore for the second time in the calendar year 2020 and get it done. This time it was a little bit tougher than in the playoffs. I would say they took control early on back in January, jumped out to a 14-0 lead and never looked back. This one, they had to come play catch-up. They were down 21-10, and quite honestly, at that point, I thought it looked pretty bleak for the Titans. I wasn't sure it was going to happen. I was like, I don't think this is going to be their day. And sure enough, I think sometimes we've learned in the past, especially with this team and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and others, that you probably shouldn't count this team out. And sure enough, they came back, they kept fighting, and they come away with a 30-24 overtime victory. So now Derrick Henry has put away two teams in the AFC, one in their division, and now the Ravens in overtime with a touchdown run this season. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was classic Derrick Henry for sure. And I'm glad we have a lot of time to discuss this game today because there were so many aspects to it. And depending on your perspective, you probably feel differently. I made a point to read the Ravens' perspective, you know, read some of the coverage from the Ravens writers after the game. And it's so different than the Titans storyline because the Titans, deservedly so, should relish this win. It's a great road win with a depleted lineup. I mean, it's unbelievable how many of the regulars are out. But when you put it in perspective and you look at the Ravens side, they too had a lot of people out. And the Ravens are sitting there looking at several plays going, any one of these plays might have put the Titans away, or it didn't get down to the last, you know, overtime or something like that. So, you know, kudos to the Titans for sure, but what a compelling game, because there were so many swing plays where the Titans are sort of hanging on, and the Ravens gave them just enough life, and the Titans took it from there with a depleted roster.
And boy, was it depleted. It was depleted before the game, which I also thought lessened their chances. I mean, when you look at the bodies that had already been announced, they were not going to be in the lineup. And then you see the bodies that fell during the course of the game. Like I said, this is happening to everybody, but, you know, this is the team that we focus on, and we see it happen right in front of us. I thought this was going to be I'll use another mountain reference. I thought this was going to be a mountain they probably couldn't climb and complete and finish. And sure enough, they did. I mean, that's – and by the way, I can't wait. We played this game, and we're going to do it every week. We played this game last week, and we'll do it again tomorrow. We'll see where the shift is. I asked you guys to save your sheets so we could look back and compare as we label the weeks, you know. Where does this put? I think you were the only one that had the Titans in your top 10. I think that's right. Or did Chase? I don't remember if Chase had the Titans.
No, he did not.
Yeah, I did not either. And I had the Ravens at 8. And I think Chase had them somewhere around there, too. And I don't remember where you had Baltimore. And now we're going to see.
I still had them way up there. I still think they'll come around. But it is interesting. There's a lot of doubt.
They'll be
sitting there
shift.
Right now. And you know, the biggest thing, I think, if you want to boil it down to the simplest terms, you had the Ravens basically saying they just didn't quite want it as bad as the Titans did. The Titans had, they showed a lot of guts, they showed a ton of resiliency, and when it was on the line, they made the key plays and they just overpowered, they broke the will of the Ravens, and that's hard for the Ravens to stomach. Right, who that now they have to turn right around and play the Steelers
Thursday night
on Thursday, and that, you know, is as banged up as the Ravens are. That seems like a very tall order. It's in Pittsburgh, and as we mentioned, the Ravens have a very easy schedule after that. But boy, they're just trying to tread water.
Well, if
right
they
now.
Lose, they're 6-6. Just think about that. I mean, if they
six
lose
and,
Thursday,
6-5.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They'll be 6-5. Yep, 6-5 if they lose on Thursday.
Right, but they're still, unless they completely have the wheels fall off, they should end up with double-digit wins, I think, based on who they play down the stretch. And I still think they're a good team that will find their way. But all of the things, and it started with Gary Stein, right? We set the tone early in the week with our perspective from Gary Stein, who I think has as good a perspective as anybody on that team. And he was kind of laying out what was going on. All the theories we had, you know, mm-hmm. why is the offense not looking quite as good? Our team's figuring them out. A very average, a depleted Titans defense had just enough answers to keep their offense with a chance to win the game. It was, you know, it was close, but you could see it, right? The Ravens just don't have the same precision and swagger that they had last year. Not right now, anyway.
Not even close. By the way, if you would have told me you want to put this on pick six, boy, I would have lost as many points. I would have gambled every point on this question. What receiver would lead the Ravens in catches on Sunday? I would have lost everything on that. Do you know the answer?
Yeah, they hardly threw the receivers, but because of the catch by Dez Bryant at the end, right? Was it Dez?
Dez Bryant led that receiving corps in catches.
Yeah, who hasn't caught a pass in 2 years.
2017 was the last time he caught a ball in the NFL. He led the. If you want to know where the Ravens' offense is, outside of Mark Andrews on passing, they really don't have it. Marquise Brown, just a nothing. Zero catches. Zero. Just a total zero yesterday. And he really hasn't been that good all year. Willie Snead, he goes to Willie Snead more than he does Brown. I would say at this point, Brown is a disappointment. And I'm not sure he's going to get better with time. I don't know. Maybe he's just not good enough. I don't know. It's like he kind of burst on the scene and he got a lot of attention when he was drafted. But I would say to this point, he has not lived up to expectations for the Ravens. And they got issues. They just do. They are not the same Ravens team as last year. The good news is everybody's got issues. Other than right now Pittsburgh and Kansas City and what looks like the Saints. Right? Those three teams right now look like the three best teams in the league, and I don't really know how you could argue against that for now. Like I said, we'll do our current top 10 tomorrow. This is going to be a fun game every week. I had Green Bay third. Obviously, that's going to change as they fall in overtime to the Colts. I had Arizona in my top 10. They lost on Thursday night to Seattle, so there's going to be a shift on my board for sure. And like I told you, I had New Orleans 5 because I wanted to see what it would look like. Now, maybe it was more about the Falcons than the Saints, but they looked pretty good with Hill. I mean, you know, I think they looked pretty good. And it says a lot about Jameis Winston, right, that they went to Hill instead of Winston. I don't know what he's thinking about his career right now. What do you think is going through Jameis's head? Like, wow.
Who am I going to play for
next
year?
I just lost to a receiver. I just lost out to a receiver on our team. Wow, a gadget guy? Wow, okay. I mean, I know he was a quarterback in college. But.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's basically he's going to be a free agent next year, I would think, unless Drew Brees retires and he wants to stay on as the and compete for the job.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Taysom Hill took a big step yesterday for sure.
All right, you brought up what Baltimore said after the game, and it was their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who said this about the Titans.
You know, we just had two losses in a row, games we should have won. We had little hiccups in the game. But we still got to keep fighting through it. You know, that team, it looked like that team wanted it more than us. You know, they was playing physical. When we went up, I feel like, you know, we just took our foot off the gas. But we just got to keep it going for this team.
I don't know how you feel about that. I think Lamar Jackson's a guy who just says whatever's on his mind. I don't think he really thinks, you know, I wouldn't say he's a calculated guy. There's a lot of, you know, like Tom Brady is very calculated. Peyton Manning was very calculated with his words, right? I mean, they knew exactly what they were going to say. I'm not sure Lamar Jackson fits into that category. I thought it was pretty interesting that he just blurted out. I mean, he just admitted that the opponent wanted it more than his own team.
Well, he wasn't the only one. There actually were several Ravens that were quoted with the same thing. They don't feel like they've got it right now.
If I'm John Harbaugh, I'm extremely concerned that my players are admitting the other team wanted it more than us, especially when you consider what took place before the game.
Yeah, and I'm asking everybody I know. I haven't gotten a clear explanation as to why the Titans gathered on the logo. Were they intentionally trying to stir it up?
That's what they do.
Every week they do that?
I forgot which Titan after the game I heard say that that's what they do. That's just a tradition that they do. It's not just Baltimore. They do that.
Okay.
They gather at the center of the field on the road. Who was it that I heard say that? It was obviously somebody. I think it was somebody on Dave. I don't remember who said it, but they said that's what they do.
Okay.
And obviously the Ravens.
Did they do it in the playoff? Did they do it in the playoff game in Baltimore, for example, last year?
I don't know.
Like
I don't know if this
you,
is a
you know
this
that
year
there is
tradition.
A thing about you don't go on the other team's logo,
sure.
Right? Some people take offense to that. If they're doing it every week, you wonder why something like this hasn't happened before, right?
Yeah.
Because you're sort of asking for a reaction if you do that. At least I think so. Now they weren't taunting or anything. Nothing that I could see. They weren't like stomping on the logo like the guy at Michigan did a couple years ago, right?
Well, Jeffrey Simmons was kind of like wiping his cleats on the logo, if you notice. He was kind of, or I don't know, he kind of looked like a bull that was getting ready to lower his head and come after somebody. And maybe that was after the chirping. But if you notice, Big Jeff is like basically wiping his feet on the logo and just kind of staring at him and flexing. And so I don't know if that was before the chatter or after the chatter.
Well, we know that there was chatter. You could see that. And then the other thing that doesn't quite add up to me is Mike Vrabel after the game said, we shook hands, we're good. I asked him, what was the deal before the game? He said, nothing. you know, he said all the right things about John Harbaugh. But if you look at the tape at the end of the game, I'm not sure there actually was a handshake. There was like
a
gesture.
No, there wasn't. John Harbaugh waved him off. He's like, nah, get out of here.
But they went over and talked to each other, and there was kind of a
not really
disconnected. Well, he did. He looked like he was going to run off, and then he stopped. He yelled something, Vrabel did, at Harbaugh. Then they went over towards each other because the TV showed it. And then there was kind of a reach, a talk. It looked like it was either a sidewinding attempt that didn't connect, or he was trying to pat him on the back or on the butt. And then there was a quick runaway. I don't know. But whatever Vrabel said at the end doesn't really match with the tape.
I think Vrabel was trying to, you know, they just won, so he's in better spirits.
Right.
And John Harbaugh wanted nothing to do with it.
But they said some things back and forth with masks on, so you can't even read lips to figure out what the tone of what they were saying. Because Harbaugh was saying something, but you can't tell at all.
I'm sure
what exactly he was saying, and it was quick.
Beginning. Well, I mean, because when you look at the beginning of the game, or I mean prior to kickoff, it looked like Vrabel was saying stuff to Harbaugh.
Oh, they were both saying stuff to each other.
I think Vrabel's doing it like he's saying stuff at Harbaugh without looking at Harbaugh. You know what I mean? It's like, well, if I'm not staring at you saying it, it's not as bad. That's the way it looked to me. Like, basically, like, Vrabel was, like, looking away from Harbaugh going, get out of here type of deal. That's the look. I have no idea what's being said. That's just me observing what everybody else listening right now, we all saw it together. It was kind of like Vrabel going, get out of here. Get your guys out of here. You kidding me? I mean, just his body language. Like, Mike Vrabel will be a horrible, horrible poker player. Horrible.
Right.
Like, his body language. He right. can't hide. His body language tells a story. And the way I took it is he was saying, get out of here, man. Get your guys out of here. Get your chumps out of here.
Okay, I see that. But when you gather on the other team's logo, don't you think that there's a chance that there's going to be a response? By the other team?
Sure, especially if it's the Ravens. Like, there's certain teams you would expect that from, right? The Ravens, the Steelers. If you did that in Pittsburgh, you would expect that response. True?
100%. That's why I'm asking. If you're saying that they've done this before, I guess, you know, I'm not at the games and they haven't shown it.
I didn't say that. I said I heard a player, I don't remember who said it after the game, and maybe we can find that clip. But one of the players said that's what we do before a game. We gather in the middle of the field.
Okay. So why hasn't that ever happened before in a road game, if that's the case?
Well, I guess Denver didn't care. Minnesota didn't care.
I mean, maybe that's what it is. Maybe the other team isn't on the field when they do it sometimes. I don't know if that's what's happening. I don't think the Ravens are out of line for getting upset if you're on the other team's logo. It's a bigger deal, I guess, to some teams than others, but I know that's a thing, right? This is our turf. You stay on your half of the field for warm-ups. We'll be on our half of the field.
Absolutely.
But it worked. It worked for the Titans. I guess they ended up having the mental edge at the end of the game.
Well, Malcolm Butler certainly was fired up, that's for sure. And I'm okay with that. I'm glad they've got swagger.
If you can back it up, then okay.
Right, chirping and never backing it up. I mean, those players or those teams, you know, hollow. Get out of here. Get out of here with that stuff. You're a paper talker. Who cares? You can't back it up. But they backed it up. I mean, I don't mind that. I mean, that just tells me this is a rivalry game, which, you know, that's all we ever knew in this market for a long time, and then they went away to different divisions, and we've talked about this before. Was this still a rivalry game? You know, do these two teams still feel the way that, you know, we talked about for a long time? They hated each other, and I still feel like it's there. It's good. I'm okay with that. I'm glad. Don't you need that stuff? I think so. I hope they feel the same way about Indy this week on Sunday.
Boy,
the problem is, Indy, the thing is so lopsided, it's hard to be a rivalry game when you're never winning.
Oh, and Indy with a big, big win coming back in the same kind of razor's edge kind of game, two good teams. What an entertaining day. You know, if you were a complete slug like I was watching the Titans game, then the Colts game, then the Chiefs. I mean, three brilliant games that went right down to the – I mean, two go to OT and the other goes right to the last play.
was good watching. We'd love to get your participation this hour. What do you think about what we all witnessed yesterday? Give us your thoughts. A lot to react to after the weekend. You can certainly call in and talk with us on our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 737-1025. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
A kick in overtime in his career. Henry getting free. Henry's going to end the game. Titans take it in overtime.
We talk about his second half surge. It just starts to wear you down, and you saw the effort Henry gave, cut back, finish, get through the arm tackle. And Tennessee survives on the road.
And they win in Baltimore for the second time in 2020.
There you go. Jim Nantz, who wants $15 million a year next year. And Tony Romo on the call yesterday for the Titans. 30-24 victory over overtime win over Baltimore. It'll be Indy up next, so twice in 3 weeks. On pick six on Friday, Derrick Henry carries over under 22.5. I took the over. A little top shelf action. 28 carries, 133 yards, and of course the game winning touchdown. Man, hey, it had to be over for them to have a chance to win.
It had to be over for them to have a chance to win. I think I went top shelf on that too. I thought it was interesting. There was a point in time where I think that if the Ravens had scored one more time, and there were a couple of different points in the game where they had a chance to. The interception was one.
The interception when they were down 21-13.
They overthrew a guy in the end zone where they could have had a chance for the knockout punch.
Who was it? Hooker that had the big that had the interception.
Well, Hooker
the
had
overthrow.
The interception, and then there was I forget who was on the back. It was the very back of the end zone, and Romo made a good point. He said if he throws that ball about a half second earlier and drops it in there, he had the defender beat. But instead, was it Byard? Or
I think it was Hooker, too. Hooker
was it Hooker, that too, that recovered and knocked it out last minute?
Mm-hmm. It was attempted to
so
haul
if they,
Brown,
if they
it?
Get any further behind, then I'm not sure they can stay with the running game the way they did. But that was such a classic. Stay with it. Take a pounding early. But exact a price, and then it'll get softer and softer as the game wears on. And that's exactly what happened. Romo was saying it. They had to sell out because they could not stop the basic runs, and that opened up so many things. And Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill were just masters at knowing how to work it. It was Henry inside, throw it to the receivers outside. Henry inside, play action, hit Firkser. It just got into a great rhythm. So another feather in their cap of how they've built this offense. It's come so far since last. It's so far removed now from all the issues we talked about for years for Mariota. It's striking when you really think about it. They couldn't do that before, right? Not with any kind of consistency. They had some games where it looked pretty good, but every week this offense, for the most part, just carves you up when they have that kind of thing going.
Austin Rivers just signed a 3-year deal with the Knicks. So a guy that you lost to in your bracket in your high school just signed a 3-year deal with the Knicks.
Oh, good for him.
And you're doing a radio show in Nashville.
Yep, yep.
There you go.
As I said, he should probably win.
I mean, you might have the better end of the deal being on a radio show in Nashville than playing for the Knicks.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
The Knicks do pay pretty well, though, I think. The NBA in general.
Yeah. He's getting more money. There's no doubt. But is it worth it playing for the Knicks?
Absolutely not.
I don't know. It'd be cool to play in Madison Square Garden for home games, but gosh, what a dysfunction family that is. So, look, when you look – so many times over the years you've heard me talk about, hey, let's settle down before everybody gets all excited about somebody early on in their career in the NFL. Like, let them settle in. Like, you have to go through it. It's like, don't judge them on 4 games or 8 games. Defenses are smart. These coordinators get paid a lot of money to figure you out, and so are these defenses. They do a lot of film work on you, and they figure out who's good. And or if you're good, what you're good at and what you're not good at. And they will figure out a way to slow you down or change that. And this is a prime example. I'm going to ask you right now, and this is not caught up in the moment. This has been going on all season. Lamar Jackson is a shell of what he was last year as the NFL MVP. Last year, the Ravens did about whatever they wanted to on offense throughout the course of the regular season en route to a 14-2 season. Right? I mean, they were just scoring at will. I mean, they had lines last year. They were favored by, 17, 18 points. I mean, they were just crushing everybody. So what's changed? Personnel really hasn't changed.
It's the league. The league, everything in the league is designed to knock you down a peg.
That's why I say you don't get excited.
It's hard to do it every year.
Yes. And Lamar Jackson is starting to fit into that category. I ask you, do you think last year will be the best year he'll ever have in his career? My guess is right now today, yes, it is. He's probably never going to look like that again. I think they have figured out how to slow him down. And let's just be honest, something that we've still questioned, even though he was the NFL MVP, his throwing is just not to the level of the elite quarterbacks, right? He is not an Aaron Rodgers, a Mahomes, those elite guys. His arm, he's obviously elite with the ball in his hands when he's running around scrambling or running the ball. But he is not an elite passer.
Well, definitely not when you consider who he's throwing to, right? You just got done saying in the last hour they've had to try to bring Dez Bryant out of mothballs out of desperation because they have so few weapons on the outside. Andrews is a great target, but other than him, nobody scares you. And we don't have guys just running free in the secondary like they had last year with all the dynamics, then it's a totally different thing. And what also has happened, and Darren, we were looking at this last week. If you look at, and this is how we concluded, this is how I concluded to go under on the average, the yards on the ground for Lamar Jackson. Teams are figuring out how to keep him from getting the big ones, right? He's still very effective running. But, you could see the Titans, they had a feel for how to keep him corralled. Right, he was getting some runs. He got some 4 or 5 yards, which is still effective. He can move the chains, but he's not scaring the daylights out of you with 15, 20-yard runs 2 or 3 times a game. He's not getting 100-yard games.
Yeah.
Right? And that's – so it's still effective, but it's not the same. And if you can do that and force him to make a lot of throws, as you saw yesterday, he missed just enough throws, just enough to keep the Titans in the game. And that's with all of the guys – that are missing on what even at its best is an average defense.
Yeah, I right? took at its more best. About the Titans' defense than I did Lamar Jackson. I took over. It was 59.5 yards, and he got 51. I took the over, so obviously I was wrong. It was more about the Titans. I mean, it's more about the Titans' defense than really – because you're right. I mean, it's not just the Titans, other teams too. He's not – once again, he's just not even coming close to the season that he had last year. And a lot of it is more about what he, the league has figured him out. That's why I say settle down. Don't get excited. They got to do it for a period of time in the NFL, and then you're legit. Everybody can have a year. Everybody can. Jared Goff has had a year. Guys can have a year. But can you keep stringing them together? That's when you know you're elite. Everybody can have a year in this league. And I'm not ready to throw Lamar Jackson out with the bathwater. I'm just saying it does look like the league is starting to figure him out because he's not an elite passer. He's not going to turn into an elite passer. This is what he is. I think that he's going to have more struggles. And unless they have that elite Ravens defense that they've had in the past, which right now is not elite because they've got a lot of bodies out of the lineup, they're going to struggle. They're just going to. Let's go to Alex, who's on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good to hear from you. I just had a quick question. As far as over the last couple of years, there's obviously been a pretty big shift just in the way that the Titans come out, especially in the second half of the games. Before last year, really, they it almost just seemed like they kind of would roll over in the second half. And so I was just kind of wondering from you guys, from your perspective, I don't necessarily keep up with you know, a bunch of stats and numbers, so I'm not familiar with that. But what's your guys' take on over the last couple of years how in the second half and especially in the fourth quarter they've really figured out how to turn it on and instead of just kind of rolling over and you know taking it from them from in the last fourth quarter of the game. So I'll get off of here and listen to your guys' response.
Okay. Well, thanks for the phone call. I think we both can agree the Titans are better in the second half than Jeremy Pruitt's Vols, right? They're better in the second half than the other Tennessee team,
yeah,
the Vols.
We will cover that during the noon hour.
Can I give you real quick, and then we answer Alex's question. Do you know this five-game losing streak, do you know they've all lost – they've lost by double digits all five times. Do you know how many times that's happened in program history? The history of the program, which is what? Dates back to the late 1800s?
Yeah, leather helmets?
Did they wear helmets? I don't even know if they wore helmets.
Okay.
Do you know how many times that's happened?
You're guessing it's zero.
Never. It's never.
Well, in the second half, cumulative score is just unbelievable. It's like 100 and something to 14.
Never happened in program history. They've never lost five games in a row by double digits.
Now,
well over 100 years of football.
Yeah, it's alarming for sure. And of course,
okay,
with the game against
regular
Vanderbilt,
schedule programming.
Yeah, we'll get to that. It's a very intriguing matchup on Saturday. The fourth quarter, it's interesting. You know, it's not like they're blowing teams away, but I do think that they have two things that jump out to me with the theory that Alex is throwing out there. They have Henry, who in the fourth quarter can take over.
Yep.
And number two, I just think they have a very good feel for how to win. They have changed the mentality, and it all starts with Tannehill, I think. They just have a mentality, and Vrabel deserves a lot of credit.
I was going to say, I think it's probably a lot of the head coach.
I think they just have a good mindset that they just believe they're going to find a way to win.
There's no doubt there's been a culture shift, right? This team believes. There's no doubt about that. There's times when they just can't fix things because of their personnel, but they definitely believe. I mean, how many times have we seen this team where it just looks – I mean, I did not think they were going to win yesterday. Did anybody think they were going to beat Buffalo when they had the 16 days off? There's games like that where you go Kansas City last year. Like, they're not going to win this game, and yet they come out and they win.
Yeah,
and so that is a culture built within those walls, within that room, because just when you count them out, they find a way to do it. And that is – you're right. Tannehill gets credit for sure. The head coach has got to get credit for that because of the way he is made up. It's not always great to deal with on a daily basis, but for them, it definitely works.
Yep.
I was talking about more on the media side, but Derrick Henry to me is the answer. All of those apply, but Derrick Henry is number one, and it's not even close. If you don't have Derrick Henry, you can't do that. And Derrick Henry is the best nail in a coffin in the NFL, in my opinion, especially in the fourth quarter. I mean, is there a guy who's a better closer? He is the Mariano Rivera of closers for the Titans.
I agree, and it's interesting, though, because it's not a deal where we've heard Jeff Fisher talk about this plenty. We could all think back to these games where maybe you're winning by four in the fourth, and Eddie George just grinds it out. And in the four-minute drill, they win going away, or they don't let the other team get the ball. This team this year has won against Denver 16-14, Jacksonville by three, Minnesota by one. It's ironic you said Buffalo. We didn't think they had a chance to win that game. And that's the one, other than the Chicago game, which ended up a seven-point game, that was a pretty decisive win. You know, those were the only two easy wins that they've had. They've had two other wins in overtime. They're winning close games that they have to make the plays at the end of the game. So it's not like running to run out the clock. It's running to get the winning score and combined with clutch plays by Tannehill.
Yep. Very fair. Yeah, you're right. It's not about just holding on to the lead or having a big lead and just trying to run the clock down and just pound your big back. That's not it at all. These are games that they need. And sometimes he does run them into a pull-away situation. Like, obviously, we could think of a couple of Jacksonville games where Derrick Henry broke their will, right? And he's done
that. Oh, sure. Now, last couple of years, especially late in the season, and hopefully that's in the cards. You would, you know, with all the injuries, you got to hope that he can have another dominating December. And with that in mind, it's worth pointing out that they did go to the well with the over on the carries, 28 carries, which again has you saying, you got to make sure you bounce. They've done a good job of doing it, but why do they take him out when they do at times? It's so they don't get over that threshold. I was really surprised, Darren. You know how much I value Football Outsiders. We had Aaron Schatz on. He wasn't as concerned with the Titans getting to 370 because, as he said, very few running backs actually get close to 370. But right now, Derrick Henry's on pace for 366 with the 28 carries, and that's with them dialing it back the last few weeks, right? 370 is the danger zone, especially if you are planning on making the playoffs and there's going to be more games. They're not going to get a bye, right? So they're going to have to win three playoff games just to get to the Super Bowl. That's a lot of toting the mail. So somewhere in here, you hope that they don't have to use him that much, but Sunday, is there any way that they can win without, again, that same formula?
Yeah.
It's a dilemma.
No, they honestly have to, I think. And I get it.
What does that do for next year?
He had over 100 yards against Indy. I just don't think Indy's the number one defense in the league, although they gave up a lot against Green Bay, so I don't know if they shifted. But they came into this weekend the number one defense in the league, and so – I don't think you can count on – like, the Ravens, you'd proven you could run on the Ravens. I mean, the Patriots did it, for goodness sake. They ran all over the Ravens.
Without Campbell and without Williams in the middle.
Campbell, right.
They had two big space eaters in the middle that weren't there. That helped the Titans, with their depleted offensive line, still make it work.
You're going to have to get more creative. You're going to have to sling the ball around more against Indianapolis. I almost said Baltimore, by the way, because I was thinking Colts. And I'm
right.
Like, wow. How long has it been since we've said Baltimore Colts? But I just think you're going to have to be more aggressive play calling. Like, you're not going to be able to pound, in my opinion, Derrick Henry. Even though, like I said, he got over 100 yards in the Thursday night game loss. But what was it on? It was less than 20 carries, wasn't it? I think it was 19 carries.
Yeah, 19 for 103. And as we mentioned, they dialed it back. Once they felt like they were out of game, once Gostkowski missed the field goal, they took him out. They could have easily given him 4 or 5 more carries in a desperation situation, and they didn't. It's the same thing as the week before against Chicago when they were ahead. They chose to run Foreman and McNichols instead of sort of the Eddie George, let's just go for the kill here. And that's smart. I'm really glad they're doing that, because otherwise they'd really be in the danger zone of getting up into that line of carries. For people that don't know what we're talking about, there is a history. If a running back gets to 370 carries in the regular season, almost always there's a big drop-off the next year, the wear and tear. It's almost like the innings pitched theory that Tom Verducci has come up with. If you surpass what you've done before, the likelihood is your arm is not going to be able to keep that workload the following year, and you're much more prone to injury. So Derrick Henry, I mean, he got smoked yesterday. I was worried he wasn't going to come back, right? He was in a lot of pain. He comes off the field, and about 2 plays later, he comes back in. But those are the kind of blows that, when you have that many carries, over time, it takes its toll. It's easy to – I mean, that's the thing you have to keep your eye on if you're Arthur Smith, who's doing a tremendous job, right? You know you can only go to the well so many times.
But how can you do that when we've played this game on the radio many, many times, in off seasons, during the season? Stats don't lie. Whenever you give him the rock that much, what happens every single time?
They
win. His three highest rushing outputs this season, as in carries, have all led to W's.
Yep.
Denver, this game, and the Minnesota game are his three highest carries.
But at 30, at
31, 28, 26, and Jacksonville was 25. So that's his fourth four highest carried games this season,
right?
And they're 4-0.
And I think the history,
it's
right?
Every
isn't
time.
It, if he's
yes.
25
like he's
or more, they've won. Yeah,
it's undefeated.
Eddie George had a very similar stat. And that's why teams in the past have gotten running backs up into that 370, because it's a formula to win. It means you're in the game, you're not way behind, and you've got a guy who, you know, physically wears teams down.
Basically, if they give Derrick Henry 25 or more carries, it leads to a W every time. So how do you go away from that? That's got to be hard to do.
It's one of the toughest dilemmas I think you have, is balancing the short-term, long-term. Because there are times you have to do it, just like yesterday was one of those times. You have to do it. And next Sunday might be one of those times. But you hope that when you have a chance to use the other guys, then you do. But yesterday, you didn't see much of Foreman.
No. Only when Henry had to come out that one play.
Right.
We will talk with TD to start the second hour. Teron Davenport coming up at 11 o'clock. Right now, I want to talk to you about DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app, and they're going to give all players the opportunity to double your money. Listen up. If either Baltimore or Pittsburgh score a touchdown in Thursday night's game, now, remember, there's a triple header on Thanksgiving this Thursday, and the final game is going to be the Ravens at Pittsburgh. And all you have to do to double your money is get one touchdown in that game. That's it. All you have to do is opt into the promotion, place your bet, and then sit back, relax, and watch the ball enter the end zone. On top of that, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering all new players a deposit bonus up to $1,000. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the promo code 1025GAME. And when you sign up, get this can't-miss offer. You use that code again, 1025GAME, during sign-up for a limited time only DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. To do is see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Derek, staying with that finishing theme, you had 96 of your 133 after the first half. What is, I mean, were you able to feel the defense? Could you feel them kind of wearing down? That's something that Mike Vrabel kind of touched on. It seemed like that was happening.
I mean, they're a tough defense. They're physical. Got a lot of guys that fly around to the ball, and a lot of guys that play this game at a high level and have a lot of experience. And after we get our momentum and the guys finishing blocks, driving on their man, and, us just getting downhill and continue to move the ball downfield, and that wears on the defense, and we did a great job of doing the run game by doing that.
Derrick Henry, 28 carries, 133 yards, game-winning touchdown, a 29-yard score, his longest of the day, to put away the Ravens again. That's twice in the year 2020 up in Baltimore, and the Ravens now fall to 6-4. On the season. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's go back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe from Spring Hill is up next. Joe, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. First of all, I'd like to thank my Patriots for participating in the 2020 NFL season. Now that that's over, I can, go on to root for the Titans to go as far as they can go. I don't know how you guys feel, but from what we've watching the Baltimore game yesterday, and with Lamar Jackson being 0-2 in the playoffs, it seems to me like any kind of quarterback that's been predicated on the run game has never really had a long-lasting career, nor have they made a deep playoff run. I mean, let's take a look at the list, whether it's like a Randall Cunningham or Dante Culpepper, or you guys remember Flash, Cordell Stewart, or Michael Vick or RG3. I mean, I don't know how many I just reeled off. That was definitely a couple. And I feel pretty confident in saying, watching the last two NFL postseasons, that once Lamar Jackson has lost half a step, I mean, it is over. And I mean, even for the Ravens, as far as making a deep playoff run, when you look at what they're going up against in the AFC, whether it's the Titans again, the way they're built, or Patrick Mahomes, or the way Big Ben is, I don't want to say quietly getting things done. I mean, nobody's a quiet 10-0, obviously. But I just think for the long-term picture, we saw a lot yesterday, I mean, as far as what's going to happen. And I definitely don't see, for all those Ravens fans out there, sorry about your luck, but, I mean, I just don't see them going deep into the playoffs, or, you know, after another year or two, as we know, once the sample size has gotten bigger and there's more film, I mean, it's just going to be more and more difficult for him to get things done. It's not like he has a slew of offensive weapons to work with. Another quick takeaway from yesterday that I loved. I mean, I'm a Phillip Rivers guy. You got to love an ornery guy like that who's got, like, you know, he's a great family man and everything else. And after watching him the last 3-4 years, as much as I loved him, I thought his career was over, but it seems to have been somewhat resurrected. So that's going to be really interesting, the Titans-Colts part two, because that should really tell us a lot about the division and, you know, who's got the upper hand and what the playoff picture will look like. As always, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the phone call. Love the show. You guys have a great day. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, you too. Let's start with the Ravens part of this. I do agree with him. I think I said this at the beginning of the show, and it's not being caught up in the moment. I've watched the Ravens a lot this year. And like I said, the good news for them is there's a lot of teams with warts in the AFC. So there's a lot of teams with warts in the NFL. But this is not the same Ravens team, and this is the same Ravens team, yes, albeit we're the number one seed in 14-2 last year and didn't win a playoff game. It is hard to think right now that this team, when you watch them, is going to win a playoff game this year, even if they get in, which, you know, like you said, their schedule is going to lighten up. Right now they are currently on the outside looking in, and this is with expanded playoffs. They look like they got issues, and they do not look like a team that's all of a sudden going to flip the switch, you know, come after, you know, 16 games in the regular season and just magically turn into a different team in January. I don't think that's how it works.
Right. The beauty of this league, though, is that there's still an opportunity. There's still plenty of time for the Ravens to get it figured out. Just like the Colts appear to have figured something out offensively these last couple of weeks. They've rallied for a couple of really nice wins. They had so many questions about their offense and Phillip Rivers, and then he's answered the bell. Big road win against the Titans, big comeback win against the Packers yesterday. So he's answered the critics for now. Now, that doesn't mean that the next few weeks they won't slip back a little bit. But let's take a look at the Ravens. They're hurting right now, but this is how close they are. They more or less gave the game away against the Steelers. They had some critical turnovers that hurt them in that game. They're good enough to go and beat the Colts at Indianapolis. That looks like a better win now than it did a couple of weeks ago. And yesterday, with all the faults and issues that are very well chronicled and I think legitimate questions about Lamar Jackson, they still have the ball first and 10 on the Titans 14-yard line with 51 seconds and a timeout to win the game. And they get a dumb false start,
yep,
which, you know, really hurt them. Look at a little bit before, too. You know, they had a play where it looked like Lamar Jackson dove for a first down. They mark him short. They challenge. They lose the challenge, and they get a false start there. Next thing you know, the Titans get the ball back with just under 8 minutes to go and still time to do their regular offense, right? So they were so close to taking that game in several different times of the game yesterday, and they just didn't do it. But my point is they're not far from being still a really, really good team. And the question is, are they going to come back around and figure it out, or are all these questions about Greg Roman going to come true that they're just not evolving enough and they can't evolve? Like, let's take the Colts. Why are they doing better? Well, one of the things is they found a receiver, right? This Pittman guy all of a sudden gives them an extra guy. And all of a sudden they look like they've got more weapons on the outside. It's just interesting how a little turning of the page, a little wrinkle can all of a sudden get you back on track. So I don't think I'm writing off Lamar Jackson yet, right? It's not the same as it was last year. We know that. But could he bounce back and all of a sudden get on a roll again? I think he can.
Well, he'll have to do something. Then it'll have to look a lot different than it has through, what are they, through 10 games. Because right now, this is what he looks like he is. You brought up the penalties. I think the difference is sometimes good teams get through that. And you're right, yeah. It was a stupid penalty. Because, I mean, did you watch the Colts and the Packers?
Yes.
I think the Colts had, did I hear that right, 9 holding penalties? Nine?
Oh, man. The only reason the game went to overtime.
And they won.
Was the bad holding penalties at critical times at the end. Yeah, nine holding. I think I heard them say that.
Yeah, I think I heard them say that too.
When he said that, I was like, could that be true?
That's what I did. I was like, that can't be. Nine holding penalties? Are you kidding? And they still won, and they were down right. Two touchdowns at the half.
It's so close in this league. It is so razor's edge. Let's take the Titans, right? They're reeling. They're behind 14-7. They had the great start where they go down and score. Next thing you know, they're down 14-7, and the Ravens are kind of buzzing. The Titans are stopped. They get the fake punt, and they also get what? After that, a roughing the passer, which was a little bit of a questionable call, right? And that's it allows them to get a field goal to go into the half down 14-10 and still sort of hanging around. These are all like those little things that are the difference in a game that ends up in overtime. So that I still think the Titans are sort of on the good side of being able to find ways to win the close games, right? They've won a lot more than they've lost in those kind of games. They still, before the year is over, you'd like to be able to just overpower a few teams to give yourself a little more slack, because you're just not going to win every game like that. That's why I think the Ravens, who have lost a couple of games like this recently, will bounce back and start winning again.
I haven't looked at their schedule the rest of the way.
Well, they have the Steelers, and then after that, it's a cakewalk, I think.
Okay. What's a cakewalk? I mean, a lot of Cleveland or Cincinnati. What else?
I have Cincinnati without Burrow.
That's what I'm saying. Cincinnati is a cake because Burrow's out, and that ends their season. They're done.
So I don't have it memorized. I'll pull it up here because last week I looked at it.
It's Cowboys after the Steelers.
Yeah, Cowboys. Okay, you can't beat the Cowboys. You don't deserve.
Here they come.
You don't deserve to.
At the Browns, Jags, Giants, at the Bengals. I mean,
they got four wins in there.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they should win those games. They should.
If you can't beat the Cowboys, the Jags, the Giants, and the Bengals to get to 10 wins, I mean, that's assuming you would lose at Cleveland and at the Steelers, which is not a given. You could win one of those easy.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give
you
that.
They should get to 10 wins.
Yep.
Now, here's another team that that has a schedule that looks good, and that's the Raiders. I was looking at they posted their schedule last night in a game that they were matching Kansas City blow for blow.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, they were right there standing toe-to-toe with the Chiefs for the second time. They've already beaten them once. So the Raiders, even though they've lost, look at their schedule the rest of the way. At Falcons, at Jets. There's two very winnable games. Then they've got the Colts. Then they've got the Chargers, who, of course, always seem to come very close to winning but never do. Then a head-to-head with the Dolphins, which is a big one. Then they end up with the Broncos on the road. So that's doable, right? If you're the Raiders, are you saying, could we win four out of that last group of games and get to 10 wins? Yeah, I think that's doable.
If it wasn't for Mahomes, they get the season sweep. That just tells you. I mean, they were the. I felt like they were the better team for most of last night, and they still could. And they scored with 2 minutes to go, or less than 2 minutes to go, and still couldn't find a way to win that game. Which just tells you how incredible Patrick Mahomes is. How incredible he is. All right, we'll come back. Start the second hour with Teron Davenport. That's next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.